Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel speeding in!
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Hi again, everybody. I don't know if you can hear me over the noise. It's Jungle Jim coming out with another...
I need a snack.
Holy Jesus.
I'm in Canada. I get to eat ketchup chips.
That, of course, is Russ Cortinel. We live to breathe another week. Rusty, what are you doing, man? What's up?
I'm chowing on some chips.
Why chips? Why now? We're starting the show. What's going on? You're all excited.
I had a light lunch, and I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And I need some energy, so I'm going in for the ketchup chips.
What's a light lunch? Three Chardonnays? What's
no,
a light? What's,
no booze. I had a sandwich, but I got a new. Well, it's not that new.
Right.
But listen to this bad boy.
Okay.
You know what that is? That's my White Claw condom.
You wear a White Claw for a condom?
No, it's a Vetti, and it keeps my White Claw cold.
What's a Vetti? What are you going to film me?
A cool, you know, like you, these little, you put drinks in them. It keeps your drinks cold. Vetti.
Oh, okay.
Vetti.
And this thing's a big tube or something?
Yeah, and it fits perfectly.
Oh, there we go. Okay, wow. Big day for Rusty.
Yeah.
He's got
Barrett Jackman's wife gave it to me for my birthday last year. She goes, I didn't know what to give you for your birthday.
Yeah.
When I was at Gosser. Yeah. So she goes down and she buys from the tree bar this Vetti little sleeve that you put your drink, your can in, and it keeps, I'm telling you, to the last sip, it's ice cold. It's perfect.
Russ, do you ever get
Let
a complex?
Me take a sip.
Do you ever get a complex about everyone talking about you? And if you want to get Russ something, just revolve it around booze.
Well, today we're at least taping at 4:30, so I can have one.
You can have a little happy hour suspendable show. Mm-hmm. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you along with us as we do each and every week. On today's show, Rusty, I got a note, eh, Rusty? I got a note from my mentor.
Yep.
He's like, hey, boys, pick up the pace a little bit, okay? Pick it up a little bit. So, folks, just so you understand, okay, this is how brutally honest Russ is. So this guy's good, right? He's like the critique of the show, right? I lean on him once in a while. He goes, okay, I don't know where the laughter went, okay, but what's happening that you're not having as much fun? It's flat. There's not enough energy, and you guys got to pick it up. So I was telling Russ that before the start of the show. And Russ says, well, I got fucking emails to read.
I'm reading my freaking text messages. You didn't lose me. I just got busy. So tell your mentor to fuck off.
Okay. Okay. I'll send that message on to him. Mark, you know who you are.
Loud and clear, Mark. Piss off.
Okay. We'll tell him that.
Sit in my freaking seat for an hour once a week, Mark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so painful. Okay. Yeah. Who's it more painful for? Okay.
Oh my God.
I just told you a story about my ex-wife selling her house.
Break the news. Break the news.
Yeah. Oh, and you go, yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, another freebie, eh, Jimmy?
Jimmy's ex-wife sold their house.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Yeah. She sold it for $2 million.
No, her house, Russ. It was her house.
Okay. Well, I know. I was just going to say, it was when you guys got divorced, she said, let's just split it the way we came in.
Yeah. 1090.
Yeah. You brought 5%.
I digress.
Well, she is a doctor. Come on.
Yeah, she is a doctor.
You can't compete.
She's rich. Yeah.
I mean, you thought about being a doctor when you're selling drugs on the street corner.
You know what I tried to sell her on, Rusty? Just because I wanted to get money out of her since you got rich, right? Okay. I said, you should sponsor our show. We'll talk about your clinic. We'll do all sorts of stuff.
She's not a plastic surgeon.
Yeah, she said, yeah, but she's smarter than I am. She went,
shut
up,
was,
go away. Go
if
away.
She was, you would look a hell of a lot different.
On the show today, Rusty, okay?
Too bad she's not a dentist.
Why did you say to me too about that? You should.
No,
see,
she really. It's too bad she's not a dentist
to fix my teeth. What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Okay. Listen, you live in Hollywood.
No, I don't. I live out in Westlake Village. It's not Hollywood.
Okay. Well, it's LA. It's Hollywood. But if you had plastic surgery, you should sue the guy. Okay. that's enough. Tampa Bay wins the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Your buddy, John Cooper. We're going to talk about that. The year in review. If you were Gary Bettman, when you look back at hockey, what would you do? We've talked about some of that. The celebrations are unreal. They go on. Okay. These guys are taking the cake, Rusty. Oh. Tampa Bay. We got some emails we're going to read. And also, Seattle, right, is going to be in the league. And people want to know, what's it like not being protected when there's an expansion draft? Does that, what do guys feel like about that? And the shootout, Rusty, and the big, you must have watched it. You're a big soccer fan. Your kids were big soccer players. Yeah. What was it called? Is it the Europa Cup? What was it, this big thing?
Euro 2020.
Euro 2020 was the name of the event. I don't know how often they play, but it was big. It was big. All my Italian buddies loved it. Italy wins. But it ends up in a shootout. And I'm going, what a shame, you know, to end a game that way. But I guess, Russ, if they don't, the game could go on forever. They got it. What do you think about it when you cheering for a team?
I've never liked the shootout. And I really feel bad for those young guys. I wish England had to put in their older players for the shootout. And I mean, I was sitting with some friends here and we were watching the game, and one of our friends really knew a lot about the players, and
right,
he was educating us on stuff. And I just felt bad for the young guys. Like, they weren't in the game the whole game. And my daughter's teams would go into shootout and they would pull some girl off the bench to shoot, and she hadn't played the last half. Mm-hmm. I think the people who played the most or finished the game and played a lot more, mm-hmm, and are into the game should be taking the shots. I just think it's too much pressure on somebody.
Right. What about shootout in hockey then, Russ? What's your opinion of that?
Well, we don't have it in the Stanley Cup Finals, so it's a mute point.
Right.
We hockey fans agree that that shouldn't be a shootout, and soccer hasn't figured that out yet. And I don't know if it's because they can just play defense till, you know, the cows come home.
And defend.
But, you know, thank God in the playoffs, we don't have shootouts.
Right.
And so I think as a hockey fan and a retired player, I just don't agree with it. But
yeah, soccer's different, though. You're right. Yep. And even I said it, you know, it's like, well, you could have 4.5 hours of overtime. You know,
yeah.
Right. So,
yeah. They played hard in the overtime. I thought England, I thought they were controlling the play and in overtime and had the ball more often. And, you know, they went into the shootout and it was so exciting when it was kind of going back and forth. You know, it was like, oh, they got a chance. And
right.
And then they didn't.
And then the fans go crazy.
Well, and then there's a lot of divide in England right now. There's a lot of racial tension there. My friend was sharing this information with me, and then sure enough, there was like these three kids that missed were all black, and they were just racially getting hammered on social media. And there's been some pretty strong statements against against players. That. So
yeah,
it was terrible. You know, the whole thing. And I wish they had a one.
The headline reads, racist abuse targets three English players who missed penalties against Italy. So I saw some tweets yesterday. And we all know, right, Russ, you've said that too, that you know, they're football crazed over there. They're soccer crazed. It's like part of the culture. And I go, well, whatever, you know, hockey's part of the culture here. Okay. We don't try and you know, burn down a guy's house if the goalie let in a bad goal, you know. But I read some tweets and guys who were fans of England, right? Mm-hmm. I was almost brought to tears when they write about what this meant to them. you know, what it means with their families and their parents and where they grew up and all this kind of stuff. So you get an idea, I guess, of what it's like. But anyway, by the way, your buddy Mike Modano, did you see where he got a double eagle?
Yeah, he's a hell of a golfer.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a double eagle, folks, is a two on a par five. Had his wife on the bag. What? Was your mind in the gutter there? Is that? No,
that's funny.
Yeah.
No.
What are you, seven? Had his wife on the bag. Get it? Yeah. What about Tampa Bay and your buddy John Cooper? Did you have a chance to talk to him, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning?
We haven't talked. We've been texting. He sent me a great video. He's sitting outside on a patio having a cigar, and he doesn't say a word, and he's holding the camera phone,
yep,
filming himself by himself, smoking a cigar, and he puts his finger up, number one.
Yeah.
And then he goes, number two.
Oh, good one. Oh, good one.
Silent film.
Yeah, back to back. Yeah.
That's why I said good. When you said they won, I said good because I'm really close with John. And then mm-hmm. Tyler Johnson is another Gosser member who I've become close to. And
right.
And so I'm really happy for those two guys. And, you know, it was unfortunate for Montreal, but they're just not, they're not ready yet. You know, they had a great playoff, and I hope that all the fans for Montreal are excited about their future. You know, Price isn't getting any younger. Weber's not getting any younger, but they've got some exciting young players. And so hopefully, you know, every fan wants their team to win, but they weren't ready yet. And mm-hmm. and you could tell by the final, they,
right.
you know, they won the one game, but, I'm really happy for those two guys. And, you know, I think Montreal should be really excited about their future. And that,
right.
and their GM's done a great job. He's made some great decisions, and they're going in the right direction.
Right. If sports was predictable, right, no one would watch it. Right. If it was accurately right. predictable, nobody would watch it. And of course, Montreal did what nobody thought they would do. It was exciting up until the final, I guess. you know, that ironically, that might have been the, I don't want to say a letdown, you know.
It was the worst series in the entire playoffs.
Right, right. Okay. I will say it. Yeah.
It's just true. It's, you know, it just wasn't, as exciting as we'd want it to be. But
how did Tampa win this thing?
Well, they're the better team. They're better in every regard.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been there last year, and so they were ready to, you know, they knew what to do,
right?
And so they were ready to win again. I think they're last year having that one under their belt, and then coming back this year, they knew what it was going to take, and they didn't let up,
right? So right. And good. Like, oh, if yeah. it's not one guy, it's another guy God. Coming at you, right? And if not that, good luck there trying to rip the puck by that guy. Good luck there.
And I look at Tyler Johnson, who hasn't played a lot in the last couple of years, and then he just came back as a, like, didn't come back. He started playing more. He started playing better. Their line was so effective, and he played really, really well. And you know, I think a lot of us thought, well, maybe he's getting towards the end, he's slowing down or this or that. And he came back with a vengeance and played really, really well, which helped their team. But their power play was sick. Like, that's one of the sickest power plays I've ever seen. I mean, it's just like, it's kind of like the old Edmonton Oilers when,
right, right.
you know, Messier to Curry to Gretzky to Coffey to, whoever.
Anderson.
No, you right. score. Yeah, Anderson, you score. No, it's your turn. No, your right. turn. And it was kind of like Tampa, like, here. No, I'm good. You go. Right.
Russ, the coaching in Tampa, I know, you know, we know your relationship with John Cooper. I don't mean to throw you under the bus here. The rest of the coaching staff, Russ, do you know any of them? Or?
I met a few of them at Gosser a couple summers ago, and I was really impressed. And trainers. John brought them out. His two of his assistants didn't come, but one did, and the rest of the staff. And so the video guy and they were good people. We had a good time, and they just seemed like such a great unit. I'm sure that that goes for every coaching staff.
It's the real deal, right, Rusty? Someone had asked about assistant coaches. What's their role? I was looking back today at a bunch of comments from people. And I said, I don't know. I'll ask Russ. I know they're real. I know the jobs are real. How does it break down, Russ, with using assistant coaches?
I mean, I don't really know, but Derek,
when you played then, for example.
Well, when I played, there was a coach running the D, and then Pat Burns ran the forwards. Mm-hmm. The trainer really helped in Montreal, letting Pat know who was up and on the other team, what line was coming up, and he would.
How did that work?
Yeah, he would just follow their bench, and when they would, I guess, tap the guy on the, you know, you're up. Coaches used to tap you on or say your name, and you could probably tell maybe by the player's movement. And he would say, so-and-so's up on their team. And then we had already known who was going to play against who. So then Pat would put,
that's funny,
you know, call whatever line, like Carbo, you're up next. And, you know, or Course, you're up next, or Bobby, you're up next, or whoever it was, Brian Scrudlin.
Right. And Screwy. Yep.
Yeah. But if you went on the ice and the other team had switched it up, throwing you a curveball, then you knew immediately to get off the ice. And then that line, the line who was to play against them would play.
Right.
So you would change. So, you know, it's a chess match, especially at home. You have last change, so you can control it after a whistle. But on the fly, you got to, you know, your bench has to be alert. So where I'm going with this is probably now the assistant coaches really have a lot to say in that. They also are talking to the eyes in the sky. You know, should we challenge a penalty? Should we challenge a goal? Mm-hmm. You know, those guys, you'll see the coaches going, you know, looking at them and looking at their iPads and their headsets. What do we do? What do we do? And
right.
Cause they only have a short period of time. So anyways, they, you know, there's a lot going on the bench. But there it's, to me, there's like, if you have four coaches behind the bench, it's a little much. Right. I mean, you look behind the bench and it's like, you know, it looks like the CIA or the FBI. behind there.
Just a reminder, if you'd like to connect online with Russ or Jimmy or engage with them on social media, find out how at thesuspendables.com.
Rusty, the celebration of Tampa, Kucherov has become the unsung hero, man.
Oh my God.
Stanley Cup, right from his interview telling Montreal, yeah, more or less to go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you know, your Stanley Cup was last series.
Yeah, like he didn't. You know, most guys you would expect, here we go, got to hand it to Montreal. What a run. They tried. Great team. We're lucky.
Yeah.
He's kissing like, ass. There you go. How do you like that? Yeah. Okay. We kicked the shit out of you. He became just the people fell in love with him, and they are more and more. You know, they did the flotilla. Okay, in Tampa, they're doing that again. Funny. Tom Brady made it spectacular, of course.
Well, Tampa started it, so.
Right.
I mean, the Lightning started it last year, and then Brady and the boys copied them. So, let's give ourselves credit here.
Right, I got the, that's right. Rusty, in your day when you played, when there were team celebrations or team night out or, you know, there was kind of like a, okay, no cameras allowed. Okay. Lock the door. We're going to have fun. We're going to party here. But it seems today's party, Russ, is flip all your cameras on, man. I'm really hammered. I'm going to be I'm going to let my hair down here like crazy. And all you got to do is look at the videos from the parade on Monday. I think it's great, Rusty. I really do. I think Brett Hull set the template last year. What do you think of all of it?
I think it's great because I think it shows the fans that the players are just like them. When something really good happens, they're celebrating, and
right,
they've all worked so hard, and they finally win, and then they can really just be themselves. And I think every sport, I've seen videos and of guys getting up on stage, and you can tell they're hammered, and they're just so, so excited, and they're like just letting loose. And and I think it's great because so many times people are guarded and don't want to, you know, they don't want to embarrass themselves, or they don't want to be this or that. Mm-hmm. But when you win, it's like, okay, all bets are off. Like the coaches are smoking cigars and, and they're shooting the, you know, they're spraying each other with beer and champagne, and
it's real.
And I think fans can relate, and then they're feeling part of it too. Like the parades are getting close, you know, in Boston, they take those vehicles that can go in and out of the water, and they're, you know, they're through the town, and I don't know. I think, you know, we all know that I haven't won, and I just can't imagine how much fun. But at the same time, the guys, it's just such a relief, and they're just your hero. You know, they're heroes, but they're also thankful, and they're doing it together. And then the city feels like they're part of it, which they are. The fans, everybody's a big happy family.
I get it. I get teary eyed. I'm a bit of a crier. And I get, when I see the microphone stuffed in the guy's face right after the win, I'm brought to tears, right? I'm brought to tears, regardless of what they're saying. You know, you can just see it in their face, of course, what happened. When a guy wins the Masters, I'm the same. I can hardly keep it together. This is kind of an odd question, Rusty, and I'm not being sarcastic because I give you a hard time about not winning the cup, but if you did win a Stanley Cup, Russ, and when you think back and the final buzzer went 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, whammo, you won a Stanley Cup, where would your mind go, Russ, right away?
I think I'd go back to Victoria, you know, playing hockey with my dad was coaching when he was alive, and that's where it would take me.
Right.
Take me right there. And when I look back on my career, that's what I really look back to, those days of when my dad was alive and coaching me, and my mom was at the games, and when we played at Victoria Racquet Club. And and so after that, I was 13 when he passed. And after that, it was a lot of hard work. It was fun. But I look back on my career. I'm so fortunate that I had my father as long as I did. And, in that time that he instilled in me so many things that carried me through without him and then made it. But that, if I won, I would have been all about my family and the beginning of my career in Victoria. And that's where I would have gone to.
Yeah. So, cool.
That place.
Yeah, cool, man. Expansion draft, Rusty. I'm trying to think. Did anyone expand into the league when you were playing?
Yeah, actually, when I was, we had a few.
Really?
But yeah, we had a few. When I started, there's only 21 teams. When I finished, there was 30. So we had 9.
Holy Jesus. Yeah. Okay.
And
you are old.
Yeah. But the only time I wasn't going to be protected was in my last couple years with, right before my last year, I was with the Kings, and Nashville was interested in us, Gary Galley and I.
Right.
And I think our GM made a deal. I think he sent a draft pick, I think a third round pick, so that they wouldn't take either one of us.
Oh. Nice. Was that a relief for us, or did you want to get out of there?
I didn't. I mean, I didn't want to go. My wife's from LA, and I wanted to play in LA, and I knew it was. I called it the farewell tour, and so I thought I might have had a couple more years after my final year in '99. I still was preparing to play, and I I had a couple shitty offers to go play somewhere, and it just at that time in my mind it didn't make sense. And
what's it like not being protected, Russ, for some of these guys then? Is it kind of a dismal day or what?
I think, yeah, there's some guys that, you know, there's obviously some people that don't want to leave.
Right.
And yeah, they're, and then there's others that are hopeful they don't get protected. Look at all the guys who went to Vegas. And it just like, they made some of their careers. I mean, they were second, third line players. Now all of a sudden they're getting more ice time and they're signing big contracts or getting, they're on a great team and they're getting opportunity where they weren't getting opportunity. So the players that aren't getting opportunities and feel like they, if they go to an expansion team and they're going to get that opportunity, they can show the team and the NHL how much better they are than the place they're in. So
storybook stuff, Vegas, yeah. Right? The year yeah. I mean, that was yeah. crazy, right? They went to the final.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. Looking back, Rusty, I said at the top of the show, if you were Gary Bettman, and we've talked about this from time to time over the show, if you looked at it, I know you're a big fan of Bettman, but if there was one or two things, Rusty, that you would look at changing, what would it be?
Jeez. I don't know. The game right now is come so, nothing, so far. Maybe, not. Right? No, this is one of those stupid texts that you should have sent me before the show.
Every time I do, though, you go, shut up.
I ignore
just
him. The mic. I'll tell you to fuck off.
Okay, let's leave
this. That one I might have read.
That's so funny. You got to leave all this in, Stevie, to give the folks a good idea of how we do it back and forth.
Yeah. But this, I mean, look at that, where the NHL was before the pandemic. I mean, pretty much every team was doing really well.
Right, right.
And now what I'm excited about is that fans want to go to events. And I was worried during this whole pandemic that people may not want to go, because we've all been out to our local stores and shops and stuff. And people, even though you don't have to wear a mask, are still wearing a mask. So right. I was worried that fans weren't going to want to go back. And you can tell that they're definitely back and want to be back and support their team. So
right.
Canada's
the price,
you know,
of tickets, man. Holy God.
The price of tickets could, we talked about this with your buddy on the show about, you know, what if an Amazon bought the league?
Right. Right.
And, there's potential to just lower the ticket price because they're going for content and
yeah. Right.
This and
right.
that. So, you never know if they, in this world of technology, if the ticket price might not be the real moneymaker down in the future.
Right. Do you think, Russ, we're you and I will be alive when the NHL expands to Europe or Asia? And, you know, like they did that Canadian division. Steve and I were talking, right?
Yeah.
They did the Canadian division. Would you have an Asian division in Europe? Do you have any idea or sense of that the league would one day want to do that?
Who knows with travel and technology what's going on? I mean, I never say never,
right?
But it, you know, time zones and time to get to and from are a problem. It would be great if you could, but right now, the way how long it takes to get from here to there, and to make it fair that you play. Everybody's in, I don't know, like I just don't know, unless they have, could they do two divisions, extra divisions, and then they start the playoffs? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see it going to Asia. I mean, it just wouldn't.
No, you know, but
there's not the talent. But Europe, right, there's the talent. And,
yeah,
and it's only like a 5-hour flight from Newfoundland to over to Europe.
Yeah, okay, on the East Coast, but how about right. the West?
Oh, that's man, fine. They ride around in freaking yachts, you know?
Yeah, right.
Arable yachts.
Yeah, I tell that to the guys on from LA, San Jose, Anaheim, Seattle, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary. They'll tell you to go blow.
I got to read some emails, man.
Oh.
Yep.
Me too.
Yeah. I know. here we go. Mark Kruger says, hey, I got a quick question for Rusty. During the pandemic, interest in sports cards, you may have answered this before, has really spiked with so many people stuck at home and looking for something they can do. I was curious if you've noticed an increase in the number of autograph requests you've been getting during this time. I love the show. You guys are hilarious. I don't listen to anything else. All right, Mark. If nice. I read it before, it deserves to be read again because you gave us such a nice compliment. Dude wants to know, Rusty, if you've seen an increase in the number of autographs you signed since the pandemic.
100%.
Oh, okay.
Hey, all but right. They haven't found me in Victoria yet.
Oh.
So in LA, at my, I probably do between 20 and 30 a week.
Right.
And that might be light. Pretty much every day I get letters from all, now it's all over the world. Before it was just the United States and Canada. Mm-hmm. Now it's, I'm getting them from Europe. And so, yes, it's gone. It's going crazy. If you're listening and you want to send me out, don't send me more than three. Because if you send me six, you're getting three back. I'm keeping three.
Oh, that a boy. That's nice, Ross. That's heartwarming.
Well, it's, yeah, thanks, you know, I do make money once in a while by signing autographs. And I mean, so I know what, if you're sending me six, you're selling them.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, just to be fair, I sign pretty much everything, but it, you know, these guys who send but six and more are being gross. So
right.
Gotcha. They're taking advantage.
There you go. Take heed, folks. Here we got a lengthy one, but it's from a chick,
a girl, a lady.
Lina John chick. Okay. Rusty, a chick.
Jeez,
okay.
No wonder you're freaking single.
Lina Johnston. Hi guys. I'm fan number 101.
Wow.
I wanted to thank you guys. Thank you for the laughs, insight, entertainment, especially during the pandemic. Russ and Jim got a great rapport and humor, a large part of what makes the show work. My husband introduced me to your podcast and we'd listen together. And now I listen on my own. Each episode makes me smile and laugh, gives me insight in the world of hockey and more. I grew up in Calgary before hockey was a thing there and met my hubby of 36 years. He moved there from Ontario. As a diehard Leafs fan, I was a hockey widow, starting at the ripe old age of 16, but grew to love the game, especially after moving to Toronto area, and was there during Russ's time as a Leaf, now living in BC, where we wear our Leafs logo with pride.
Nice.
All kidding aside, Russ, you and Jim are good people who care about others, and the show is you can tell you care about other people with the show's words and actions. Please keep it up. Great work. Please, please, please. Get Wendell on the show. So this was a while ago, Rusty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway. You read this one already, big fellow.
No, I didn't. Okay. Not sure if you remember me, but I sent you my Stars jersey. This from, who's this from? Eamon.
Yeah. Eamon
Elvani. Not sure if you remember me, but I sent you my Stars jersey a couple years ago to get signed while I was at Pepperdine. I included a picture of you and when I was in Dallas from 1993, when I met you on my 12th birthday at Reunion Arena. I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for writing back and the kind words. I graduated in 2018 and still have your note. It means a lot to me. I'm in analytics now, but was thinking about doing a podcast for fun and wanted to see if there were chances you'd be on it. I sent the guy a note, told him to fuck right off.
Russ, yeah, okay? We don't like competitors.
Yeah, exactly. That's not going to happen. I listen to the Suspendables every week. You and Jim are amazing. I'm going to pick up a hoodie and a hat from the merch store. Thanks a lot, Eamon. We appreciate that.
Atta boy.
Yeah, nice one.
Good luck with your show.
Let's go to one more here, Rusty. Thanks for the shout out, Jim. As a mere mortal, I feel great having my name mentioned in the same podcast as the great one. So that's a few weeks ago. Of course, there were the similar. That's where the similarities end. Just listen to the Wendell podcast. So, so good. I'm telling all my beer league buddies to tune in. The stories, the laughs, the memories. Most of my pals are Leaf fans, and they're going to love Wendell's stories. And I love how humble Russ... Yeah, fuck that. I'm not going to read this. He's a great guy. Fuck this. Nice guy. Jim's such a little too dick. Much once in a while on the show. Russ is good. He's honest. Jim's kind of makes shit up. Drives people crazy. Take care. That's from Peter. Thanks, Peter. Rusty, I got to tell you before we go, you're going to love this. Speaking of shout outs, This is kind of funny. And then it made me stop and think, because we're all, you know, everyone complains all the time, right? You, for example, a ton of people are leaving California because of the tax situation and a bunch of other stuff. The governor's crazy. So I get a flat tire the other night, Rusty.
Yeah.
I'm driving along. Whammo, I run over something and the tire goes flat this fast. I go like, boom, and it just went. So I drove over something huge. Anyway, I said, off I go, get out all the stuff. There's a spare little donut in there. And there's a couple walking with their son. And I said I'd say hi to them. It's Nicholas is the son who said, well, they were helping me and I got him to help me with this tire. They're from Colombia.
Nice.
And Nicholas said, I said, do you like soccer? Okay. He's in grade four.
Okay.
He said, I'm absolutely in this broken Colombian accent. He said, I'm absolutely amazing at soccer. Oh, good. Carlos is the father and Lena is the wife. And thanks a lot for stopping. They stayed with me the whole time. You know, kind of walked me through it. I know how to change a tire, but we had a nice conversation. Lovely young kid. And I said, how long have you been in Edmonton? And they said, well, we've been here about 15 years, you know.
Wow.
And coming from South America. And I said, why would you ever leave Colombia?
Oh.
And he said,
because we say, why did you pick Edmonton?
No, I didn't say that.
But sorry.
Why would you leave Colombia? And he said, because we were feared for our life.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so upside down politically and everything. And it made me, it gave me reason for pause, Russ, to say, How good is it that we live in North America? You know,
yeah.
I'm being a little corny here a little bit, but with all the complaining that goes on, and then this guy said, you have no idea what it's like to live in an area that's just laced
with turmoil. Two of the greatest countries in the world, United States and Canada.
Yeah,
Canada absolutely. And the United States. Pick one. I don't care which one you want to say is one and two, but they're both fantastic. Right.
So thank you to them. This story you're going to love, Russ. I saved it till the end, and it's true. So I'm walking, okay? I do my walking. It's nice right now. I walk my 8.5K.
Not a boy.
And I'm out walking last night. It's great here, right? Because it's light now till freaking 11 at night.
Yeah.
And
take off the mucklucks.
Yeah, exactly. Take off the mucklucks. And so I'm walking, and I've still got about 20 minutes to go, Russ, and I ain't going to make it unless I have a piss. Okay. I'm not going to make it. It's dark. And so I'm at a perfect part of the road where there's the sidewalk, but there's a big tree lined right of the sidewalk before you get to the houses. Right. So I slip in there, Russ, to take a leak. And I got my headset on. Right. And so I peel out one ear of the headset. Okay. My earbuds. Cause I want to make sure. No,
just
coming.
In case somebody says, hey, you asshole, quit.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm taking a leak, Russ, and all of a sudden, okay, a bat, okay, comes flying across my crotch in front of me,
no.
And I fucking snap, of course, I end up not just getting piss on me, Russ, all up and down my shirt into my neck, okay, because I'm petrified of bats, okay?
Jeez.
So I end up pissing myself, but actually, Russ, it wasn't a bat. It was dark. It was just the earbud swaying back and forth when I took it out of my
ear. Oh, my God. My ear. Oh, my God. You're a beauty.
Anyway.
That reminds me when we go to, we went to Thai Lake.
Yep.
And at night, we'd throw little pieces of white paper into the lake, and the bats would dive down at the,
wow.
At the paper. So maybe they were going after that little white thing. Maybe it was a bat.
I don't get the hammer. I don't get the hammer.
They were going after your white ear.
Yeah. Andy, okay, we'll end the show. Nothing like a small penis joke to end the show. Okay. Rusty, get out of here. Go back to putting your condom on your beer cans or whatever you're doing. Take it easy, everybody. Rusty, you have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Okay, bye.
The Suspendables is a weekly podcast series featuring former NHLer Russ Courtnell and host Jim Jerome. Join us for new episodes available each Wednesday morning. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We invite you to subscribe and review or share the show with your friends and followers. Check out our website today, thesuspendables.com.